Let's jump right into this training today, which is near and dear to my heart. And it's surrounding yourself with the right environments. And a lot of people know when I wrote this book, Don't Do Business with Dicks, they assumed it's surrounding yourself with the right people and the right ideas. But environments also create energy. And that energy is like a thermostat picked up and set to a standard. And you can either elevate your frequency with the right environments, or you can interfere with it with those environments that are not aligned with your divine direction. And so elevating the awareness to the environments that we're in, the relativity, the association, and the feeding and bleeding that we get from those environments, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional environments that exist every day that most of us just ignore. We pay no attention to, even though it's having a genetic and energetic impact on our success. The environments that we choose externally and internally shape the trajectory of our lives far more than we even or often realize. Every space we step into, every relationship that we nurture, even every routine we follow, either elevates our potential, our frequency, or it quietly interferes, diminishes, or dissolves it. The truth is, we don't just live in environments, we build them. Moment by moment, choice by choice, we are the architects of the environment that we surround ourselves with. When we surround ourselves with the people who uplift us, systems that support us, and the spaces that reflect our values, we start operating from clarity instead of chaos, intention instead of reactivity, minimizing, reducing the response to their activity of fear. Our energy becomes an asset. Our presence becomes a contribution. And our daily actions begin to compound into meaningful momentum that is so difficult to stop in the divine direction of where we want to be or better. This training, which I will make available to everybody, once again, david@dmeltzer.com. This training, exercises, and guides are designed to help us recognize the environments influencing our acceleration, our aggregation, and the compounding exponential growth that we can experience towards our divine direction or our potential. Refine the ones that no longer serve us and intentionally architect, create, engineer the ones that will move us forward. By understanding the power of our surroundings and our role in shaping them, we unlock a higher level of fulfillment, creativity, and flow in every area of our lives. Here's how we begin building this architecture, this environment that feel like fuel, not friction. The first lesson in surrounding ourselves in the right environments is that energy is contagious. Choose it wisely. The environments we choose become the thermostat for our emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, and professional well-being. Who and what we surround ourselves with determines whether we operate from that clarity, harmony, or chaos or interference. When we are witnesses, when we witness someone bringing calm into a tense meeting, the entire room shifts with them. Conversely, one person's reactivity, response to the reactivity, can derail the collaboration, coordination, creativity, and decision-making for everyone in the room. We do not rise to our potential. We rise to the standards of the environment and elevate our awareness to what is interfering with that potential. We allow ourselves to remain in it. Protecting our energy isn't selfish. It's strategic. We need to audit, take inventory of our circles, our spheres of influence. We need to identify who expands us and who interferes with our potential, who drains us. We need to practice selective association, relativity, in order to effectuate the feeding from the feeding and bleeding. Spend more time with those who align with our values. Look for people that are grateful. Look for people who find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything that they do. Look for people that are empathetic, forgiving, at ease. Look for people who are accountable, who are constantly learning by asking themselves, what did I do to be responsible? What did I do to attract this to myself? What am I doing to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Project this positivity. Our energy sets the tone, the frequency for every space we enter. It is beyond the acknowledgement of others. I remember walking in to a Thanksgiving, and we have a very large family, if you may have seen, but over 50 people in a room, and my energy was off. I was worried about being triggered by the people who had installed the triggers in me. And when I walked in the room, my nephew, who adores me, was looking directly at me, but looked through me. Energetically, there was no connection. My mom in the room, who usually is super excited to see me, did not even turn. So I decided that my energy was off. I took an audit of my own energy and I left the room. I shifted my energy. I came back into the room and it was like I just entered the room for the first time. My nephew jumped up, ran up, gave me a huge hug. My mom turned around, super excited to see me. Your energy is beyond your awareness. Make sure you're taking inventory because your energy is contagious. It flows like water, flexible and strong. So make sure you're intentionally choosing your energy wisely. The second lesson in surrounding ourselves with the right environments: small intentional acts shape cultures. And people don't work for companies, they work for cultures. The cultures that we create at home, at work, on our teams, these are the things that form through our daily habits. So anything that is going to be effectuated day by day with the God guarantee of 24 hours a day that he guarantees each and every one of us, except for the last day of your life, you'll be cheated. But through these daily habits, we know there's an incremental usage of time. It is limited by the man-made construct of time, by the 24 hours. And when we realize how in a quantum field, the daily habits, daily repetitive daily habits, cannot be occasional declarations. They need to be daily habits, small intentional acts. That's what forms these cultures at home, at work, and on our teams. It is these micro behaviors consistently every day, assigned to time every day, that will set the emotional temperature, the thermostat of your life, of your non-negotiable behaviors, habits, or your circumstantial reactions to those circumstances or habits. And either inspires others or discourages them and growth. We need to form these cultures through what we consider to be important, not what's missing, what you don't have, or social media tells you, not what other people think, but what you want in your divine direction, aligning those habits with the meaning of the past so that you're not limiting your future. Notating, of course, to be repetitive, you will never overachieve your own self-image. You will never overachieve your own self-image. When we are more interested than interesting, when we listen deeply and acknowledge our effort, our intention to do, say, think, feel, and believe. And we celebrate each of these small wins assigned to time in the divine direction, aligning the meaning of the past in that direction. Trust grows naturally. And we are in a trust crisis. It's difficult to trust others, to trust information. We are in a trust crisis. This is how we can strengthen that bond, and trust will grow naturally. If we overlook progress, or we interrupt or interfere with others, if we are not more interested than interesting, we unintentionally create disengagement. You see, there's three types of people in the realm of being more interested than interesting. There's the interrupter. We have some of those around us, don't we? Even more decisively dangerous is the waiters, the people who just can't wait to tell you what they think, like the interrupter, but they're just waiting to tell you. They're not listening. They're not more interested than interesting. Both unintentionally create disengagement. But as the active listener, the interested parties, the curious parties, the ones using the open-minded, open-ended question guide to facilitate finding out, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that could help me? If anybody would like that guide or template of the open-minded, open-ended question guide to facilitate engagement by being more interested than interesting, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, to help facilitate the transition of interest by learning enough, being more interested and curious enough to know, would it help you if, or do you know someone that could help me? All aligned and overlapped in a neighborhood of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other. People that will buy from each other and sell for each other for life. This type of consistent kindness and presence influences our environments far more than rare, grand gestures. It's part of the philosophy of living the empty mile. Right? These people who have huge grand gestures every once in a while, they use that to justify why they're not where they want to be in their relationships or their environments. It's those people that have consistent kindness and presence that actually influence our environments far more than the rare grand gestures of the extra milers. Be an empty miler. There'll be no reason to justify where you're at. These small intentional behaviors that are assigned to time in the divine direction will accelerate, aggregate, but compound exponentially into meaningful cultural changes at work, at home, and on your teams. Acknowledge this effort daily. Remind, remember, recognize the fuels of motivation that is created for all of us through this effort. We offer support without expectations in an unconditional manner, in an infinite loop of giving more, being given more, receive more, and asking for more than more. So we can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more, so that we end up in an abundant world, a culture of more than enough, of everything for everyone. These small intentional acts will shape all our culture. Goodwill strengthens every relationship that we touch. So be kind. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Use positive body language to exemplify and amplify the energy that you bring. A simple smile, a nod can reframe an entire interaction. Eye contact and other things are small body language tools that could be utilized as small intentional acts to continue accelerating, aggregating, and compounding the kindness to shape the culture of abundance, of more than enough of everything. Remember to assign time to these small behaviors. It is the small intentional acts that shape our culture. The third lesson: our calendar is our environment. That is why we study it. We don't look at it. We study it. We pay attention, plus give intention. What are we going to do, say, think, feel, and believe in the activities that we have planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, negotiable, non-negotiable, sleep? What are we going to do, say, think, feel, and be in alignment with the divine direction so we can align the lessons of the past, the meaning of the past in that direction? How we allocate our time determines our energy, presence, and performance. It is the calendar, is the environment of this time. It hosts the 24-hour guarantee of God, the 24 hours that God guarantees us each and every day of our life, except for the last day of our life will be cheated. A misaligned schedule, a non-intentional calendar, creates interference. It creates dis-ease. It creates stress. While an intentional one creates harmony, balance, freedom, and momentum, efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success. It creates productivity, accessibility, and gratitude all at once. Our calendar is our environment in the human experience, which is divided by those 24 hours every single day, except for the last day of our life. We must put it within the context of the infinite. We must utilize our daily habits and 24 hours within the context of the infinite. In order to create a harmony, we need to study it. We need to know our calendars are our environment. When we schedule family time, personal time, paid for time, non-time, scheduled time, not paid for time, sleep, recovery, whatever we're scheduling as intentionally as we work the commitments, when we study the unplanned time as much as the planned time, we show up stronger in every area of our life, personal, experiential, giving and receiving. But when we are not students of our calendar, when we are not paying attention plus giving intention, we'll end up with the wrong coincidences. We will end up overwhelmed, procrastinating, overscheduling. We will project the pressure, the panic, the disease onto ourselves, which then will transfer through us to our teams and our families. Our time demonstrates our values more clearly than our words. When our calendars, our schedule reflects what matters most, what's most important, aligned in our divine direction, allowing the meaning, the lessons of the past to be aligned as well, every environment we step into accelerates, aggregates, compounds exponentially, and improves. It's progress, not perfection. We need to make sure that we divide our time into personal, experiential, giving and receiving, into non-negotiable, negotiable, into planned and unplanned, into paid for and unpaid for, into scheduled and non-time, and our sleep. We need to protect what fuels us, and it is that calendar, that environment that fuels us. It provides us the inspiration, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration that gets us there. Create clear boundaries with non-negotiable behaviors. Consistently build trust in this trust crisis within ourselves and with others by utilizing time in its most efficient, effective, and statistically successful way. We need to study our calendars at night and in the morning. We need to get alignment, take action, and prepare for adjustment with the calendar. Utilize the triple A strategy of alignment, action, and prepare for adjustment. If you would like that exercise, the triple A strategy exercise, please just email me, David@dmeltzer.com. We must know studying our calendar is most important because our calendar is our environment in the 24-hour God guarantee that we're given. Lesson 4, protect our internal environment. You can't find outside of you what you can't see inside of you. So if you don't think your internal environment is crucial, critical, and prioritized, you're making a mistake. We cannot elevate external environments if our internal one is unsettled. If it's at dis-ease, stress, reactivity, and old emotional patterns will sabotage our future opportunities, regardless of how supportive the external setting may be, regardless of the circumstances. You cannot find outside of you what you can't find inside of you. When we remain at ease in a majesty of calmness, when we remain calm during these chaotic challenges that exist, the circumstances that have no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be, when we think clearly and when we act intentionally, we can siphon out the dis-ease, dissipate it, dissolve it, and disappear it. Spend minutes and moments interfering with our future selves, our best selves, our potential selves, with our God-given self. Two people can share the same external environment, yet experience it entirely differently based on their internal state. And we see this all the time. Same exact external circumstances, COVID, economy, interest rates, unemployment, completely different external experiences with that environment because of their internal state. We may not be able to control every external circumstance, that's for sure. The only thing that's certain is uncertainty in the external world, but we can master our internal experience with non-negotiable behaviors, enhancing those, clearing those, looking for the clues, the patterns, and the choices that we make with the internal culture, the internal change that's necessary. Having a mindfulness practice is essential to master our internal experience. Mindfulness transforms our response to the reaction to fear. It creates that response and gives it clarity. The reaction to fear is instant and obvious. The need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful. That's obvious. But it is the response to that reaction that brings clarity. It is the response to that reaction that needs to be aligned with the divine. It's the response to that reaction of one point of free will. The response to that reaction is stopping, breathing through our nose, dropping, reminding, remember, and recollecting to God, reminding, remember, and recollecting to source, your God, and then rolling into ease, into the flow, into clarity of the divine direction in which is important to you. This is where the internal strength lies, and we need to protect our internal environment by stopping, dropping, and rolling. If you'd like that guide on stop, drop, and roll, once again, any of these guides, just email me, david@dmelzer.com. When we start our day with breath work or meditation, when we start our day with a gratitude practice, 0.1 seconds and it's free. Say thank you before you go to bed and thank you when you wake up. You'll change your life forever. I guarantee it. We set an internal calm and ease before any external demands arise. Make sure we use the stop, drop, and roll before we respond to the reaction of fear. Responses build energy or they drain or interfere it. We can journal our triggers, our emotional triggers. If you're wondering why some people can always trigger you, that's because they probably installed those triggers. They're called siblings and parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents. Family. Awareness becomes an upgrade to everything you do. Protect our internal environment. The fifth lesson in surrounding ourselves with the right environments is to align passion with place, with location. We perform at our best when the places we spend time in support our strengths, our passions, our purpose. When passion and environment match each other, creativity, curiosity, collaboration, and coordination come more naturally. It dissipates, disappears the interference. When we work or play in environments that encourage synergy, innovation increases and our relationships deepen. In the fields that I've worked in and coached in for 35 years, fields like sports, entertainment, media, teamwork thrives when the energy is uplifting, not pressurized. What you resist persists in an environment. We need to encourage that synergy, collaboration, and coordination, that teamwork. The right environment doesn't force excellence out of us. It unlocks it within us. I'm going to repeat that. The right environment doesn't force excellence out of us. It unlocks it within us. Alignment removes the interference, the friction, and it helps to build our momentum. It accelerates energy. It aggregates energy. It compounds exponentially the outcomes of that energy. We need to choose environments that support our strengths. Remember, you could take a weakness, move it to another place, and it becomes a strength. On a football field, my shape and size is a weakness. But in the front office of an NFL team, it's a strength. Growth requires spaces where our gifts are aligned and can expand. We need to make sure that we're putting our strengths, our capabilities in the right space so that it will accelerate, aggregate, and compound exponentially and expand along with the universe, which is constantly expanding as well. If we cultivate the culture in these spaces that inspire us, surrounding ourselves with the visual, emotional, and relational sparks, catalysts, our collaboration, our curiosity, and our coordination is intentional. It will allow us to work with the people who amplify who we are becoming. The fastest way to amplify who we are becoming is to find someone who's already there and ask them for directions or help someone get to where they want to be. We must align our passions with the place. Remember, there are no weaknesses. It is just a capability that's placed in the wrong position or the wrong place. Move it. Align your capability and your passion with the place that creates the strength in that capability or passion. The vital lesson: to surround ourselves with the right environments. Continuously take inventory. Continuously audit and calibrate our environments. Our environments evolve. They accelerate, expand, grow, aggregate, and compound, as so do we. What once energized us may now limit us. Our comfort zone may be the size of our learning zone. Our learning zone may be the size of our anxiety zone. Now we have a new anxiety zone. What once energized us may now limit us, and the growth that's required for continual reassessment, an audit, an inventory, so that we can recalibrate our comfort zone, our learning zone, and our anxiety zone, making sure that we're growing at a exponential rate in a divine direction and where we want to be. As the non-negotiables are aligned, the negotiables, the circumstances of the environments we're in will change. And they also require continual reassessment, recalibration, inventory, and audit. We may outgrow our workspace, our routine, our social circle, our familiar circle that once supported us. Our frequency may now be so elevated that people can't be aware of the new capability that we have and host and utilize and have exponentially given. Recognizing these shifts, these growths, allows us to rebuild, recalibrate with intention to start doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing differently, rather than staying stuck in the old clues, the old patterns, the old choices. We are always one environment away from our next level. We're one environment away from making our comfort zone, our learning zone, our learning zone, our anxiety zone, and having a whole new, bigger circumstance of anxiety. Greatness emerges from refining, not resisting change, by calibrating, recalibrating, auditing, and taking inventory, by aligning, taking action, and preparing for that adjustment of growth. Because environments evolve, and so do we. We should perform these energy audits, this inventory, asking ourselves what expands in us, what depletes us. Try to remove any points of friction as they arise in our awareness. What's interfering with where I want to be? I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Small improvements will compound fast if consistently implemented. Don't be an extra miler, grand gestures. Be an empty miler. Don't be an extra mile, go the extra mile every once in a while and use that to justify why you're not where you want to be, why you're not growing, why you are stuck. Instead, be an empty miler with small improvements that will compound quickly. Rebuild with intention. Make sure you're doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing in your divine direction, and you're taking the lessons from the past and giving it a meaning to not cast a shadow on your future, but to accelerate you in a trajectory towards it. Or better. Choose the spaces that elevate the alignment with your capabilities. Choose the people and the habits that reflect where you think you want to be or better. Definitely not where you've been. We need to continuously take inventory and audit and recalibrate our environment, shifting our weaknesses to strengths. As we move through these six lessons, one truth becomes undeniable. As we move through these lessons, that energy is contagious, so choose it wisely. Small, intentional acts shape our culture. A student of the calendar is our environment. Our calendars are our environment. Protect our internal environments. Align our passion with the place. And reminding ourselves to continually take inventory, audit, and recalibrate these environments. As we move through these lessons, one truth becomes undeniable. Our environments are not passive. They are not stagnant. They're active forces in our own success, happiness, and well-being, our ease, the majesty of calmness. When we curate the spaces, we step into our calendar, our relationships, our mindset, and our habits. We begin to experience life with more clarity, more freedom, and more alignment. We stop surviving our circumstances and start shaping them. When we surround ourselves with the people, spaces, and practice that reflect who we truly are and who we aspire to become, we unlock the ease, the flow, and the fulfillment that have always been available to us. This is how we elevate our potential. This is how we rise together. This is how we design a life that works for us, not against us. Surround yourself with the right environments and don't do business with dicks. All right, everyone. May God bless you. As a reminder, all the exercises, guides, and books are available to you. This has been one of my trainings for over 28 years. Surround yourself with the right environments. Join our group. Join us. We're here to be of service and of value. Once again, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want to be invited or informed, I have a text community to keep you informed and invited to over 200 things a year, like being my guest at Aspire in Atlanta with Sarah Bakely and Jesse Itzler and David Goggins. 949-298-2905. Join our text community if you want to be informed or invited. If you do not want to be informed and do not want to be invited, do not text me. 949-298-2905. But most importantly, may you all be blessed. May you all be humble. May you all utilize God's guarantee of 24 hours to the best of your ability in the divine direction in which you choose. May you be more interested than interesting, but most importantly, be kind. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.